every good and every perfect gift comes from above. Amen.
Amen.
The Father of light. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God gives gifts. Amen. Hallelujah. And the blessing comes in receiving those gifts, right? Hallelujah. God blessed this world. You need to really receive those words. God blessed this world with the Franz family. And one of those people that were, the purpose for us being here this morning is to honor one of those family members. I'm talking about family here as well as the Franz family. I've had the privilege of knowing Bill for many years. Bill's a very close friend. He loves the Lord. We've walked through things. Oh, Billy. And I've had the privilege of becoming an integral part of their family through different circumstances. And God has blessed them. He's brought them a long ways. And they found out that no matter what comes in life, what we all know, we just need to remember that, give him praise for that, is no matter what comes, God's always with him, with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never turn on you. In him, there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Linda was a blessing. For those of you who don't know Linda, you really missed out if you didn't, because you didn't get to meet her. She was a wonderful lady who loved God. She was a very integral part of this church. In your bulletin, and it's very, very poignant what's said there. Just real quickly, I remember one time when Bill and I were going to go out and just do some horsing around. We had no purpose. We were just out having a good time, and Linda came along. And I got to tell you, that was one of the days that I probably enjoyed more than any other day. It was a blessing having her along. We had a good time, and she seemed to really, really enjoy it. And I enjoyed having her along. Bill says, "Will it be okay if she comes?" And I said, "Well, most certainly, absolutely." And we had a great day, didn't we, Bill? Amen. Linda, for those of you who don't know, and you may have heard me say this over the last couple weeks, Linda was a faithful member of this church, of God's house, and to the Lord. She served him. She loved him. She never missed a birthday or an anniversary. Linda was faithful to give cards to people, Christmas. She knew. I mean, she had it down. I don't know if she kept a book or God just put it inside of her. It doesn't make any difference. The point is she blessed people by her presence and by her life. Amen? Anybody who knows Linda knows that that's the truth. And she's greatly missed, but we rejoice. There's no sorrow in my heart because Linda now is freer than she's ever been in her life. She's in the presence of her Lord who she faithfully served. Amen? And I'm anxious to be able to see Linda again here real soon. In God's time, but real soon, you know. She persevered. She walked the walk. She ran the race. And she overcame. And now she's in the presence of God, rejoicing, dancing. And the cool thing is, no matter what the limitations on this earth, she's totally, completely healed now. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God's faithful. She was faithful. Amen? She blessed a lot of lives. As it says in the bulletin, she always had her camera. She'd take pictures. She enjoyed. I remember her volunteering to help in children's church, things like that. She enjoyed that. She loved the kids. And like I say, I just can't say enough about her. And you know, it's not really her I'm exalting. It's the God that's in her. He was real to her. Amen? And the testimony for those of you who may not know, at one point, in fact, I probably ought to have Bill say this, but he had a dream. And he had come home from the hospital, and all of a sudden, knowing Linda was in the hospital, she was there in the house. And if I recall correctly, please correct me if I'm wrong, he said, "Well, Linda, when did you get here?" And she said, "I don't know." But something was different, wasn't it, Billy? She had gone on to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And God was good. God is good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tremendous testimony, even in her passing, of God's goodness and his faithfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now she knows firsthand and is experiencing what it is to walk. Amen? To run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. She's in the presence of God. Hallelujah. She's having the best time she's ever had, ever. And it's going to be forevermore. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. It was a privilege to be able to sing at her funeral. Actually, homecoming. I don't like that word, funeral. For thus will know the Lord, it's a homecoming. Amen? Hallelujah. There's nothing negative about that, folks. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? Hallelujah. And it's the ultimate healing, right? We're rid of these aches and pains and these things that the Bible says that so easily beset us. Amen? Hallelujah. And it's the ultimate healing. Hallelujah. And joy. Joy forevermore. Seeing firsthand the one that she loved and served. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. I know she and Bill, when my grandchildren, when Kylie was around, they dearly loved her. And I know Kylie really clung to them, too, enjoyed Linda. So, she just touched a lot of lives, young and old alike. She was faithful on her job. Amen. She worked for FERS, and she thoroughly enjoyed that. Thoroughly enjoyed that. And faithful to take care of her brother, to, love to go with her mom to the Bible studies and stuff. She loved the Word. Amen. Do you understand when I say the Word, I'm not just talking about this. I'm talking about the living Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. She loved the Word, both in the person and in the written. Praise the Lord. I don't know what else to say except praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. She graced a lot of lives. Hallelujah. We're privileged to have a family here today. And I personally, for one, I got to say thank you to them for allowing me to be a part of some of the things that have gone on in your family. It's been my joy and my pleasure. And I love every one of you. Hallelujah. And I most definitely consider you part of my family also. Praise the Lord. We want to dedicate in this dedication service today this... We just felt this was appropriate. We did a lot of looking and a lot of searching. And we came up with this. We want to put this on the wall right here in remembrance of Linda. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Linda was a treasure. Maybe that means I'm done. Anyway, I want to just read this to you. It says, jars of clay. We have this treasure in earthen vessels to show all the surpassing power of God. And that's from 2 Corinthians 4:7. It says, may we be vessels of noble use, sanctified and useful for the Maker, prepared for every good work. And at the bottom, it says, in loving memory of Linda K. Frantz, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
She was.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Our God's name and our Savior's name is faithful and true.
Yeah, that's right.
That was Linda's name.
Yes. Yes.
What is yours? You know, one of the things we need to remember is that we need to stop taking the right to fail as one of our rights.
Yes. Amen.
See, Linda, with everything that was in her, followed her Lord. And became, in an earthen vessel, in a jar of clay, the faithful and true. She became the likeness and image of God. Now, did you hear what I said? One that seemed to have a limitation became the likeness and image of God. Well, what's our excuse? What's our excuse? And if we've got one, we need to put it under our feet.
Yes.
Amen.
As the rest of our enemies and stop using them. And becoming that faithful and true being that is God.
Yes.
Amen? That's the one thing you can always remember about Linda. You didn't have to worry about whether she was going to be faithful or she was ever going to lie to you.
That's right.
True.
That's right. That's exactly right.
She didn't know how, so she didn't.
That's right.
Who do you know? What do you know? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, today we're giving honor at this moment to Linda, but in reality we're exalting you.
Yes.
We thank you for your presence. We thank you for what you're going to do here today to each and every person. We showed up faithful, and you are faithful and true. Therefore, we will leave changed from our image into yours. We trust and pray that that is true because that's what you want, and we agree with that. The Holy Spirit, give me the ability to say what you'd have here to say this morning. And when this is over, we'll be faithful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. One of the privileges that I had was to be able to speak at Linda's funeral, homegoing. And the great privilege was that he gave me a vision of Linda dancing before the Lord. And I don't make that up. That was the truth. And he gave me the ability to operate with a full head of steam. Because when something is taken from you that's dear, you have a hard time operating, as I just said, under a full head of steam and full course. And when I saw that, it became so real to me that it gave me my wings to do what I needed to do.
Amen.
And I guess as a little frosting on the cake, a couple of weeks ago. No, it was last Sunday. Come to think, it was last Sunday. We were in a church. There was a lady there that was ministering with her voice. She had a tremendously strong voice and a strong ministry. She was doing a really good job. Just moving the house. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, "It's Linda." So you don't remember Linda having a strong voice. But I saw her again. I saw her again. Not in a fiction of my own mind. Not in a place where I wanted to see. But as a move of the Holy Spirit to show me what's in store for the true and faithful.
Amen.
The desires of your heart you will have. But it will be a talent and an ability given to you to once again fully exalt God. Fully exalt God. In a way that you've never been able to do it before. You're released from bondages and from holds on you. That maybe it used to affect you for a little inkling of a time frame in your life. But released into eternal glory. That's the way I saw Linda glorifying God. But therefore she's in glory. She's glory. She is glory. What does that do for you? Well, it ought to do a lot for you. It ought to explain some things. It ought to give you some freedom to operate now in a place you've never done before. And to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Not say, but to know to be absent here is to be present.
Yes.
Yes.
With the Father. To be absent here is to be present. The title of my message today, in memory of and in honor of Linda, God, is the faithful and true. Faithful and true. Now, another thing we can learn very clearly, and I'm still learning this. I don't know about you, but I think as we continue to go, we continue to grow, and as we continue to grow, our eyes are opened more and more. And that is that all of us are operating in limitations right now. As long as we're in a jar of clay, we're in a container. What does a container do? It holds. It never releases. It holds. Our understanding needs to be enlightened so that I can look at you and I can look at everybody in here and I can say, but nothing like it's going to be.
Amen.
They're growing. They're going. Right here. They're being opened. They're being, can I dare use the word manipulated by the Holy Spirit in growth. But there's a destination for this.
Yes.
You are not what you're going to be. Right. You are not where you're going to be. You are not even who you're going to be. The thing that you are now, you couldn't recognize if it walked up and poked you in the nose to what is to come.
Amen.
God's design, and He is true and faithful. He did not design you to die. He designed you to grow. Where? From this one cell thing at being conceived into a place that is totally unrecognizable by the world. And you are the benefactor. His design, and you benefit.
That's right.
That's God. and he's true and faithful. Please understand that his name is true and faithful, and he can't be anything else. We have a choice of what we can be and who we can be. He has no choice. Whatever he does is righteous, true, and faithful.
Yes, amen.
However he does it, even in a description by Body this morning, whatever he does, it's still true, faithful, and righteous. You may look at it as a storm. He looks at it as a shower. You're just getting a bath. Because there wasn't any danger. You know, I was reminded this morning when I said his name is true and faithful of those gentlemen that were in that boat with Jesus. Jesus was in the boat. And they became worried because they weren't looking at Jesus. They were looking at the storm. He was inside his Father, who's also true and faithful. Call it the boat if you want to, but he knew where he was. He's not carried by a boat. He's carried by the hand of God,
yeah,
as we should be. He had no worries because he knew his Father was true and faithful, and he was being true and faithful to the true and faithful. So it caused him great rest and peace. They would have been at peace. Now picture this. They would have been at peace if they had watched him.
Yeah.
Even physically, in the middle of a storm, if they had kept their eye on him, saying, well, if he's not worried, I shouldn't be. Think about that when you're talking about Jesus, when you're thinking about the Holy Spirit, when you're looking at the Father. If they're not worried, well, why should you be?
That's right. Amen.
If they would have been there, they wouldn't have gotten panicky. But instead, they looked at the storm and they said, oh, my God. That's the way people that are afraid say it. Rather than saying, God.
Amen.
The storm's not bigger than God.
They
went down and woke him up to try to draw him into their fear. Right? That's what they did. And he said, oh, you little faith. How long have I got to put up with this? Put up with what? Well, the fear and the doubt and the unbelief. I'm right here with you. How many times does our Lord and our Savior and our Emmanuel say that to us? How long have I got to put up with this? How many times do I have to remind you? My name is what?
True and faithful.
Okay, that's how I perform, and that's what I perform.
Amen.
That's who I am. Linda tithed faithfully. See, y'all don't need to know that except for now. She tithed faithfully because that's true. That's the truth. That's what she's supposed to be. She attended faithfully. She did things for people faithfully. I want you to grab your Bibles right quick. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. And as you're doing that, I want you to listen to me. Revelation, chapter 19. We need to remember, as we study the name of our Lord, that there's two forces. There's one force, but there's two avenues that this one force is trying to eliminate your Lord and Savior. I'll say it again. There are two avenues, one force is trying to eliminate your Lord and Savior today, this very moment. One of them, I'll give you an example of this new ridiculous thing that they found the tomb of Jesus with his wife and his son. In other words, this is presented to you in a scientific manner to cause you doubt and unbelief.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Your choice is to reject it or accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember this. This is the avenue one. It's to shake your foundation, remove your foundation, weaken your foundation, to cause you to have one doubt about faithful and true. I heard on the news, a newsman last night saying, well, what are you going to do when they find this DNA? Or they acted like they found DNA to prove that it was Jesus. And Jerry Falwell, and I'm not a fan of Jerry Falwell, but I'm a fan of the truth.
Amen.
And he said, you'll never find that. Are you quick like that? Are you sure like that?
Yeah.
They'll never find the DNA of Jesus because it was not left here.
That's right. Amen.
You can find bones. Let me give you a little. Let me say something to you. I wonder how many Jesuses have been on this earth. There's a lot right now. I wonder how many Marys. I wonder how many Josephs. I wonder how many Judas. I'm not talking about traits. I'm talking about physical names. So you can find a lot of tombs with the inscription Jesus on it if you want to. And if you're looking for a reason to not believe, then you're going to be offered that reason.
That's right.
If you're looking for the foundation of belief, accept it and stand on it and receive no other report.
Amen.
Number one, anything to break your foundation. Your belief in Emmanuel. the God with you. Number two, if I can't take him away from you, I can weaken him. I can make him holding little babies. I can make him with a still small little sweet voice. I can effeminize him. I can make him one that would never war. Now you see already, I just stepped out of your most of your realms of pictures that you have of Jesus. I'm going to read with you Revelation 19, verses 11 through 13. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Now, our society today recommends that you never judge anything and you never make war against anything. So there's the second part of the force that's trying to destroy our Lord, is to make him weak and taking back to the druggies of the 60s and 70s where make peace, not war. Well, my Lord makes war. I don't know who yours is, but I'm reading the actual description of my Lord. 12. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. See, you don't even know some of the names that he's got.
That's right.
13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. He is faithful and true. His name is called Word of God. Who's your Lord? Is he a sissy? Or has he got flames in his eyes? Does he speak with a little in his voice? Or does he wear a skirt? I don't care if he wears a skirt. Still got flame in his eyes, and you better watch out when he speaks.
Yes.
Let's keep on there while we're looking. Revelation, drop down to chapter 21. Revelation, chapter 21, verses. Well, I'm going to read 5 through 8. I might do it slowly, but I'll read it. Verse 5, 21:5. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said, by the way, you know why he makes all things new? Because he's doing something. And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." So now we have another promise, that anything that you read that God has said, they're true and they're faithful.
Yes.
And no matter who challenges them or questions them, they're still true and faithful.
Yes. Amen.
They don't get old. You know, true and faithful never gets old?
That's right.
It's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
Verse 6, and he said to me, "It is done." He didn't seem unsure about that, did he? "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Let me add my own. Therefore, there is no more." There's nothing else to say. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. I am. Stop all that talking and just live in that. Verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Wait a minute. Wait. Verse 7. What does it mean that he who overcomes?
Doesn't give up.
In other words, like Christ, faithful and true. True and faithful.
Yes.
So why would you have any need of being faithful and true if there wasn't an option for you not to be faithful and true? In other words, your options are open. This day, this moment, you must remain faithful and true or you fall away from the image and likeness of God.
Yes.
He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Drop down to verse 8. I want to read this so we'll understand. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, or the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Once again, we're reminded that there's two choices, second death, second life. Eternal death, eternal life. Now, to me, I've painted a picture. I did it based on the pictures that I had of people, such as Linda, such as other people that I have in my mind, of what I consider faithful and true. What I see now in the Scripture of what God in His Word says is faithful and true. So I want to speak about that for just a little bit. I want us, or let me list to you, from these Scriptures that we've just read, who Jesus is. And I want you to just take the pictures you have on the wall, the images you have of Christ, and I want you to tear them up, and I want you to put them under your feet, and out of the Word, we're going to draw the picture of Jesus. Don't care about opinions, and I know some of you don't like that, but I don't. I don't care. I'm faithful and true to be against opinions. I'm faithful and true to the Word, which usually tears up our opinions.
That's right.
Who is Jesus? Starting with the first group of scriptures that I read you and going through this in order. He's bold. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. If you don't fit the pictures that I'm going to draw for you right now, you're not Christ-like. Now, is that bold enough? Some of you don't like me to speak bold. But my Lord speaks bold according to what I just read. So I'm going to speak to you bold. And I will not be ashamed. I'll be as ashamed as Jesus ever was.
Yep.
How about that?
There you go.
He was a bold Emmanuel. How come? How could Jesus be so bold? He was faithful and true. He's called the Word of God, or He is the Word of God. Now listen, if we could absorb, if we could stop quoting the Word and be the Word for a change, maybe we'd be a lot more bold in our belief.
Yeah.
See, memorizing Scripture doesn't work. The Holy Spirit is to write that Word on your heart.
Yes.
That means it's going to come out of the abundance of your heart. The mouth speaks. That means how it is written in you is how it's going to come out of your mouth.
That's right.
Yeah. I never will forget the first time your son-in-law was in that church over there. I didn't like it. I'd already made up my mind I didn't like it. Oh, the little guy up there dancing. What in the world? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm being honest with you. True. I'm being true with you. And then he stood up and he did that. God liked it. And I knew God liked it. And I better keep my mouth shut. And I knew all of that within that long. See, my opinion doesn't matter. Nobody in this place has as many opinions as I do. Therefore, that means that I have to step on them and swallow them more than anybody else in here. They're open to change by God. And I want them changed. And I honor you today for doing what God wants you to do, no matter what people like me think. Because God's pleased, therefore I'm pleased.
Amen.
And I'm bold in that. Jesus is in charge.
Yeah.
Now, are you like Christ? Let me tell you how you judge that. If you cannot be in charge of your flesh, you're not in charge anywhere.
Right.
Okay? So let's start with that. I'm trying to draw a picture of Jesus, but I'm trying to put you right beside that same picture, comparison, because I want the Holy Spirit to work on us today. Jesus is fearless. Fearless. Storms don't bother him. Crosses don't bother him. Earthquakes don't bother him. Somebody chop your ear off right in front of him, doesn't bother him. He doesn't get upset. He knows exactly what to do at exactly the right time. He's bold. How many of you know that you're right and know that you'll be right at the right time?
Amen.
Do you know what I know about myself? Probably more this moment than any other time. I'm right in the sight of God. I'm not right in my sight. I can make you a list longer than you can about where I think I'm wrong. Then I disagree with God. And therefore I have to put that to one side and say I'm right. I heard a piece of a sermon recently that said, when it comes to my faults and my sins, I need to agree with what God says about them. And I thought to myself, preacher, stop. Stop. You don't have any idea what you just said. Or you wouldn't just keep on going. You know what God says about my sins? The same thing He said about Linda's faults. You don't have any.
That's right. Hallelujah.
You don't have any.
Praise you, Father.
You're right where you're supposed to be. You are who you're supposed to be. You are doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I want you to be as pleased about that as I am. That's what
Amen.
God says.
Amen. Yes.
That doesn't mean I'm always correct. It just means I'm right. Hard one to say about yourself. You know that? At least be bold enough to say it in here where it's safe. You can amen me and get by with it. You don't have to admit anything. It's hard for us to say, I'm right. Because, but if you can't learn to say I'm right, you can never learn to agree with God. Now, how do I be safe in that? Just always obey the Word. Just obey. Be the Word. Don't talk about it. Do it. And you'll always be right. He was faithful and he was true. What does that mean to you? I wish I had enough time to let every one of you tell me what faithful and true means. But we don't. So I'll tell you. How about that?
There you go.
Jesus. Whatever he is, whoever he is, whatever he does, whatever he says, that's the definition. That's it. No opinions. No votes. It's the way it is. How does he become that? Because he became in total agreement with the Father.
Right.
He became named faithful and true because he believed, agreed, obeyed everything the Father said.
Yeah.
See how simple that is, guys? Sounds easy, doesn't it? He's always right. Here's something that we need to understand about Jesus. He judges. Well, but we can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. You are not only can, you're required to. Now, here's the thing that you need to understand, technically speaking. Jesus doesn't judge to heaven and hell.
Right.
The Father, His Word, His commandments do that on their own. Nobody's ever going to have to say anything. They take care of it. So the judgment we're talking about is right and wrong. You must be able to say wrong or right. It must be simple and it must be sure. It must have a clean edge. It can't have jaggedy edges or gray areas.
That's right.
Does any of this make any sense to you?
Yes, sir.
I hope so. You need to grasp it. It'll change your life if you will. Imagine if somebody walked up and said, I got a theological question for you, Jesus. He'd say, uh-oh, this is going to be hard. Oh, yeah, it'd be hard. No. Because he knew that the will of the Father was in him.
Yeah.
He knew that the aid of the Holy Spirit was at his beck and call, our need. Do we know that? Are we resting in the bow of the boat, in the storm? Are we in this place where we know things are going to happen and we're not a bit worried about it? Because I'm locked up in faithful and true.
Amen.
Don't even need a lifeboat. Because this ship's not going down.
That's right.
So, ask me anything you want. Throw out any problem you want. Listen carefully. I am fully assured that I have the right answer. Why? Because you're so smart. No, sir. Just for a second, let me bend. Linda always had the right answer.
Right.
Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. Linda always had the right answer. Why? Who she knew.
That's right.
Who she knew. Now, I need to quit wrestling with the simplicity of this and just accept it.
Amen.
Most of you pretty much already would describe me as one that thinks they always have the answer. I don't think I have the answer. I know that I have the answer.
Amen.
I gave my life to him one time.
Yes, sir.
And ever since that, I don't know who's had who, but I got the answer.
Amen.
Do you ever question that, Stan? Only about 10 times a second. I never feel like within myself that I have an answer. And I never want to risk giving you a piece of advice or an answer that might hurt you. So if I don't totally become dependent on the right answer coming out of me, then I could never answer. Was that clear?
Mm-hmm.
I would always carry too heavy a burden. Your life's not in my hands. Who do I think I am? Your life has never been in my hands. I'll go one step further. My life is not even in my hands. Who do I think I am to be able to control lives? Do you think Jesus felt like that lives were in his hands? One time. You'll never be asked to do that. But one time when he went to the cross, was asked to die and bear sins of the world and be resurrected. At that point, he said, oh, isn't there another way? And he said, but forget I just said that. Never mind. Your will over mine. You'll never even be asked to go that far. Just rest. Rest in what he's done. He makes war. Now turn your TVs off and turn your experience off. What kind of war does he make? It's righteous war, absolutely. He doesn't know how to do anything else but righteous. There you go. You got to have something to fight in a war. So what is war is against unrighteousness.
Yes. Amen.
So what's your assignment?
War against unrighteousness.
That means if something is obviously wrong, you don't keep it to yourself. You vote.
Amen.
You vote. Want to see fire in my eyes? Do wrong. Isn't that what we read there? He doesn't got fire in his eyes over his own. He's got love in his eyes for that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
His eyes are determined. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
He knows what he's looking at. He knows where he's looking, and he doesn't ever change his gaze.
Right.
His eyes are determined. Y'all have determined eyes? Do you ever have anybody try to stare you down? You want to play now? You won't stare me down. I got eyes of God. You know, I thought recently, somebody mentioned about a marriage seminar. I said, you know, what I'd like to see in a marriage seminar? I would like to see a man and a woman be sentenced, a wife and a husband, to 48 hours and you can't say a word. Neither one can say a word. And let's see if you can communicate. How many of you have open conversations with God? Where somebody else is in the room can actually hear your conversations? All right, I know the answer. Since you're timid, I know the answer. But do you communicate? Is it good communication? Is there ever any mix-up in the conversation? Somebody hears something that wasn't said? I have more confidence in what I don't hear than what I hear. I have more confidence in what I don't see than what I see. I would love to introduce in totality someone that you can't see. And I would recommend to you that you have total confidence in that person that you can't see. Because I tell you that Scripture says that the things that you see are made from the things that you can't see. So you're already commanded to have total faith in what you can't see. You have to be true and faithful to that. He is a doer. He accomplishes things. He accomplishes things. I was standing back there, a group of men gathered around me to pray about this morning service, and the Holy Spirit said, lineage. Harry was there. Harry's elder. I'm there. Chuck's there. He's there.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. This is a doer. This is accomplishing things. This is people that have fallen in love with something they can't see, and they know it's real. So much so that they've given their lives to this thing they can't see.
Yeah.
And they know it's true and faithful.
Yeah.
And in that process, they're becoming true and faithful.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Lineage, what are you going to leave? What are you growing and growthing right now? Birthing. And what's it for? If you can't get past self, you won't ever birth or grow anything.
That's right.
You must know, as Linda now is totally aware, that she was placed here as part of a growth process. Not just for her, but for the entire earth.
Yes.
That's why you're here. You need to take it serious enough to bear some of the same burdens that Jesus bore. Because you are changers. You're earth shakers. You need to be like Him. He knows who He is in God. Did you know Jesus knows who He is in God?
Yep.
He knew that when He walked this earth and tried to relay it and show it to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He spoke about it. He preached it. He taught it. Therefore, He was bold and He accomplished things. I got to keep moving. He had scars. He had scars. In the Scripture, it says He had crown. That's scars, guys. You want to find a good old wrestler, or a real wrestler, not an actor? He'll have big old cauliflower ears. Want to find a good boxer? His nose will be funny. He's not faking it. The guy that works with his hands, he's going to have hands that look like this. They won't look like other things. He'll have some scars to show. If you don't have any scars, you don't have any crowns. I always, a lot of times in construction, most time in construction, I always said that some of my blood's not on that job. I didn't do it right. And I promise you, the first time I move out there, something will be bleeding. It's the way it is. That's the way Jesus says. If I don't see some blood on you, job's not going right. Job's not going right. We got to get this right. Come on, are we lying? Why do we ask Jesus to shed blood and we don't want to? He put this marvelous mechanism to where I can drip it and he can replace it.
Amen.
I don't run out.
Hallelujah.
He has word. He doesn't just know the word. He has the word. It just spills out. See, that's the cool part. I had somebody say about me one time, just floored me. They said, it doesn't make any difference what comes up. You seem to have a word for it. And he wasn't talking about my word. I thought, yeah. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be?
Yeah.
Aren't our weapons not carnal,
but
mighty?
Yeah.
Well, I only know one thing that's mighty, and that's word. The faithful, the true word.
Yes. Amen.
He changes things, even if it causes trouble. The one thing that I don't understand about church is that they never want to cause trouble. And yet, their church, who's supposed to be Jesus, causes trouble.
Yeah.
Now, don't you even... I'll call you a liar before you can get it out of your mouth. If you tell me that when you meet with Jesus, when you have an encounter with the Word, you don't feel troubled.
Yes.
Something moving, something changing.
Yes.
Sometimes you want to go, I don't like this. The Word says, but it's true and faithful.
Yeah.
It's real. He causes changes, and he doesn't care if it goes against the majority vote.
That's right.
In fact, you do know most of the time, or all the time, what God does goes against the majority vote. That's why we can never be part of a democracy. We're part of a republic. The United States is a republic, and you and I are a republic. We have given our vote to someone else. That's what a republic is. You don't have a vote. You vote to give your vote to someone else.
That's right.
That's what you did. You said, I take my vote, Jesus, and I give it to you. Y'all ready for a... Now don't interpret this. Just receive it, okay? Jesus always says, be like me. Where's my laser? How about you? Do you ever tell anybody, be like me? There's only one reason you wouldn't do that. And that's either you don't feel worthy, which you're going against the Word of God, or you're not doing right, which you're going against the Word of God. That's okay. You pulled out a laser for me. If you really believe in your heart of hearts that the Holy Spirit dwells with you and gives instant in season and out of season, gives you righteous answers or right answers, then you must be able to tell somebody, as Paul said in the Bible, if you do it like me, you'll make it. Jesus says that. Are we Christ-like? What I'm trying to do to you today, in an encouraging way, is to lay a burden on you of true and faithful.
Yeah.
Righteous. In other words, you consider your ways, even if it takes a moment before you answer. I've got a hard theological question for you. Your response to me is there isn't any. I've got a question that might shake your faith. Can't. Don't wait for the question. Answer.
Yeah.
I've got one that will question your very foundations. No, you don't. If you do it my way, you'll make it.
Mm-hmm.
See, even just work up that boneless. Work up a little further. Get out there where all 10 toes are over the edge.
Yeah.
Right? Put yourself on such a spot that only God can save you.
Amen. Amen.
See, that's where we need to live.
Yes.
I don't care where it is. Put yourself in such a spot that only God can save you.
That's for me.
And He will. He's true and faithful.
Amen.
He finishes what He starts and He never quits.
That's right.
Everybody in here said, thank you, God. I want you to do that now. Say, thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
See, He's working on you and He's not quitting. Says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Let me be the end. I've already started this thing. Get out of my way and let me finish it.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Oh, I still got a ways to go. Maybe not as long as you think. All right. I need it. He only tolerates things of God. All else he wars against. Please, breathe that in for a minute. He only tolerates the things of God. All else he wars against. When? Well, when people are looking. All the time. Every way. All the time. Your breath is war. God didn't give you a voice so that you could chatter all day long worthless things. Your voice is war. You bring down mountains with the word that you speak. You change lives. You heal. You save. You deliver. Because that's who Christ is. And he wants you in his likeness and image. Is your name Jesus? No, don't hear me wrong. If you are in him, the things that you do are the things that he does. The things that you speak are the things that he speaks.
Yeah.
That's a promise from God.
Yes.
Are you hearing me? I want to quickly go through this. Let me by that same scriptures that we talked about, here's what he will not tolerate. Fear.
Yep. Right.
Jesus will not enter into fear, and he will not go anywhere with somebody that enters in fear. If there's something you're afraid of, be delivered. I don't care if it's a rat.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a mouse. I don't care if it's a snake. I don't care what. Genesis told you have total dominion on the face of this earth.
Right.
You need to believe God and start operating that dominion.
Yeah.
You're not afraid of anything. You go scuba diving. You jump off a good boat and go in the water. Don't be afraid. God owns the water. If you're flying in a plane, you want to jump out and go skydiving. Don't be afraid. God owns the whole thing. You think sky ever made God afraid? Water? Mice. Cockroaches. Spiders. That's why he gave you Bigfoot. He will not tolerate, and this is from the things that he hates in verse 8. He will not tolerate those that are not full of faith and truth, are unbelievers. Listen to me. White horse, fire in his eyes, scars to prove he can get into a battle and win. He judges and he makes war against an unbeliever. Don't think you cannot believe God and be safe. He doesn't tolerate those that are unlike him.
Yeah.
That's what we just said, right? He doesn't tolerate those that are not like him. So y'all are having trouble with some of these things. The way I'm phrasing, you're having trouble with that. You cannot live pure, clean, and upright before God and not dislike those things that are not like you. But nobody wants to say that because the church isn't into saying truth. They don't want to be faithful and true. They want to be politically correct.
Yeah.
Let's put salve on it. Let's don't heal it. He doesn't tolerate stinking actions and beliefs. Those things not fathered by God. He doesn't tolerate those things that are not fathered by God. I was listening to one of those. I got that XFM, the satellite radio. And I was listening to one of those. I think he was a lawyer. And he was giving people advice as they called in. I find that interesting. Law always interests me because I'm above it. Oh, y'all didn't like that either. Well, read your word. And he was giving pretty good advice. And all of a sudden, he ran into a case that fascinated him, drew him into it. And it was about this guy that had sex with his dead dog, his girlfriend's dead dog, 2 weeks or 1 week old dead dog. And so he started trying to explain why that's not really a dog, it's meat, because it ends being a dog as soon as the heartbeat went out of it. And so therefore, it's legal. And it was so ridiculous that I thought, I didn't hear that. He's got something else to say. He's got to tag this with something. He didn't. He just got dumber. And so I, boom, turned him off. What did I do? Boom, you turn him off. When somebody is not speaking things that are not fathered or allowed by God, boom, turn them off. I don't care if they're on the radio or standing right beside you. Boom, turn them off. Well, you have a closed mind. Absolutely. One day I said, God, your way and no other way, and he slammed the door. My mind is closed. I'm not open to opinions anymore. I'm open to the things of God.
Yeah.
Does he stretch your mind? You're glad that door's shut. And you're glad that many other doors are open. Truth doors. Hallelujah. He's against those things that eliminate futures and faith. Anything that takes away your future, anything that weakens your faith, he's dead set against. How about you? He's against sex outside of the Adam and Eve design. What is the Adam and Eve design? A man and woman bringing forth life. Anything else brings forth death. He's against death. Here's one you might find hard, but I'm going to give you a definition. He's against sorcerers. He's against illusion. He's against magic that takes you away from truth. Shows in the church that take you away from the truth. He's against, now here's the hard one. He's against drugs. Look up the definition of that, and the word right beside it will be druggists, pharmacists. Now you got the meddling. No, I didn't. I gave you a definition out of the Bible. You do with it what you will. Let me tell you what it is. He's against anything that alters your way of thinking. I don't care who administers it. I don't care what causes it. He's against anything that alters your God-given way of rationalizing and reasoning. He doesn't want you stupid. He doesn't want you on a false high. He doesn't want that sensitivity and that edge that all humans have taken away by some fool drug. If a kid seems like he's got worm in his britches when he's in school, don't give that kid a stupid name and a stupid drug to calm him down. Give him an avenue to learn and use it.
Yes.
I don't even know the name of that. I won't use it. I know that God didn't make anything dumb, stupid, or less than Him.
Amen.
And we don't need outside chemicals to alter it. I don't care if it's marijuana. I don't care what it is. You don't need it. The highest high you could ever get is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's against poisoners. That's part of the definition. Poisoners of the mind and bodies. He's against those that deceive. Well, what they don't know won't hurt them. Oh, you're a deceiver.
Yeah.
Well, I won't tell you the truth. I'll give you a little. I'll put some whipped cream on it and I'll soften it up so it's easy to swallow. No, just give them the truth. The Holy Spirit, listen to me. If the Holy Spirit is allowed to work, you can't hurt anybody with truth.
That's right.
I prayed this morning in front of you, God, Holy Spirit, help me say what I need to say, what you need to say. Now, if I walk up and I've got to give you a truth and I say, Holy Spirit, help me, then it's going to come out just exactly the way it's supposed to,
right,
even if I don't perceive it. And if the Holy Spirit's working in him, it's going to be received.
Yes.
And life will come from it.
Yes.
Liars. The last one is liars. A liar is one that uses anything but truth to live by and to disseminate. Truth. Our world as we know it would change totally if the media would begin to use truth. If we would start listening to truth and turn off everything else, we wouldn't be looking for strange things in the sky, strange things on the earth, believing goofy things, even considering that there might be a tomb and Jesus was buried and they found his bones. No, not possible. See there? The response, not possible. Turn it off. We need to be like him.
Yes.
Did you realize from the day you're born,
yeah,
from the day you're born, there's something in you that wants to come out and stand up and fight? Even when you tried, as a little kid, even when you tried to do something wrong, there was something in you that was fighting you. There's something in you right now, no matter how callous you've become, that there's something in you that says, that's wrong, but I better not say anything. And that better not say anything is not God, and that's what he's against.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Hurt them. It may be the only thing that saves their life.
Yes. Amen.
Do you care enough about people to tell them the truth, to be truth in front of them? or you don't care enough just to let them do whatever they want to do. Say whatever they want to say and go straight to hell. Jesus wasn't like that.
That's right.
Who are you? See, one of the things that I get in strange places sometimes, but I got to be Linda for a minute. I don't know why. The Holy Spirit just took me as a look back and say, what are they saying about me? What are they saying about me? What are they going to say about you? See, I think Linda's excited because of what we said about her.
Amen.
And it's all been faithful and it's all been true.
Yes.
What are they going to say about us? When I walk out of this place, I'm taking a risk now. Only God can save me. When I walk out of this place, what are you going to say about me? You going to say he's too rough, or are you going to say he's faithful and true?
Yeah, faithful.
See, because rough is not your judgment. It's not your judgment call. It's the Holy Spirit's call.
Yeah.
You let truth fall out, take care of itself. Did you know truth will stand alone, doesn't need your help?
Right.
Just needs you to speak it.
Yes.
The Bible says the truth will set them free. Do you understand how bad I want you set free? I want it so bad that I risk my being for it.
Yeah.
So I really don't care what you think about me. I'd rather you be free than have a good thought about me.
Amen.
Jesus said the same thing. God said of Jesus, wasn't good looking, wasn't good speaker, kind of homely, just didn't do anything real good. That's what the Bible says about Jesus. But he was faithful and true.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like, and we'll keep Linda in mind about this, it seems to me like that God cares more about us being faithful and true than how brilliant we are.
Right.
How good a singer we are. How good a teacher we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I leave this world and all times before, I want people to say of me, you got to watch your toes when you're around him, but he'll always tell you the truth.
Amen.
You couldn't pay me a higher compliment. Couldn't pay me a higher compliment. You think you might insult me, but you can't. You can't. My sins insulted me a long time ago, and I gave them up.
Yeah, praise God.
I gave them up. I can't be insulted anymore.
Amen.
Because I know whose I am. I know who I am.
Amen.
Let me tell you one other thing about that. You need to take confidence in yourself. When you're wrong, the Holy Spirit will take care of it.
Amen.
He'll visit you in a way that you will change.
Yeah.
Don't worry about having other people change you. They can't change you. They're trying to make you in their likeness image. Don't do that.
Amen.
Don't do that. God can't stand that. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. Praise you, Lord. Here's what I want them to say. I want them to say about you. He, she speaks truth no matter what. He, she lives word. Don't just talk word. Lives word. He or she angers in the face of sin. See the fire come out just a little bit here? I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. You want to make me angry? Sin. I want to be like Christ. He gets angry about sin. It killed him. He ought to be angry about it.
Yeah.
He ought not want to go through that again. I don't want anybody to go through it. I want them to say of us, you can depend on them. You can depend on them. I promise you, if you call Linda up and say, fix something, do something, bring something. If she said okay, he's going to get done.
That's right. Right.
Can we say that about us? He or she is like Christ, never soft, always bold and steadfast, and won't budge. Be a good thing to have on a tombstone. He would not budge. Okay, you don't like that one. Jesus, did he budge? When he went to the cross, would he even admit anything that would have made it easier for him? No. This is the way it is. This is the way it is. If it kills me, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I don't care if it kills me.
Right.
I don't care. This is the way it is.
Amen.
Little David said, talk all you want. I'll win.
That's right.
Come on. Who are we like? They need to say of us, they love right more than life. I love right more than life. Isn't that what Jesus said?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll die for what I believe. And he did. Who do you believe in?
Yeah.
You. God's force behind it, of course, but he believed in you. He believed so much that if he laid his life down for Chuck, Chuck would eventually come around.
Yeah.
Is that us? If I lay my life down for you, you will eventually come around? I'll just keep doing it no matter what. And I won't budge and I won't quit. They defended truth even to death if necessary. I've been kicked out of a lot of places defending truth. I'm looking forward to be kicked out of some more. Kicked out of some more. What an exciting thing to be like Christ.
Amen.
Do we love God this much? Do we love truth more than self? So let's stop talking about love and start being that. Everybody call Jesus love? Well, let's get up beside his picture and see if we look like him.
Yeah.
Let our model be Jesus.
Yeah.
In other words, once in a while, I want to see some fire in your eyes. I want to see some, hear some judgment calls. And I want to come out of your mouth, I will not tolerate this. I won't tolerate this. You know, what we say can be made up. Who we are is from our bloodline, which is our Father. It's all right if you tell me that I never looked or acted or spoke like my mom and dad. As long as you tell me I act like the Father, I'm happy. I know where my blood comes from. I was born again one time. My old blood was taken out. The new came in.
That's right.
And you know what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I didn't limit him. I didn't limit on how much blood he could put in me. I wanted it all.
Yeah.
I want it all. I stand before you this day saying the blood of God himself runs through me. Now, please, I've heard some stuff on television. Don't misinterpret that. I know who I am and I know who I'm not. I'm not your Savior, and I'm not the Alpha and the Omega.
Right.
But I know whose I am. And I know he protects me, and he cares for me, and he speaks through me. Do you know that? Do you know he cares about you, and he speaks through you? Do you know that? Do you know how important you must be for that to happen? You're so important that God paid Jesus for you to let you know how important you are. Then he gave you your Bill of Rights called the Word of God. Said, I gave you dominion. Put the enemy under your feet. Say to the mountain, be removed, and it'll be cast into the sea. And don't doubt, which means be faithful and true, you'll have what you say. You're believing for someone to be saved. Speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it. Pray it, believe it, and don't doubt. Abraham never gave up on him being the father of many nations, even though everything fell off. I mean, he was way past the time. God took what was dead and turned it into beauty and life. Nothing's ever too late. Thank you, Lord, for Linda. Thank you for the example she set.
Yes.
Then thank you for the word, which explains Linda. Thank you for a light that gives us a direction. Thank you for some of us crazy people that will challenge you through the word, through the foolishness of preaching, the Bible says. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to say to you now, if you need something from God today, whatever that is, we'd be happy to stand with you and pray with you and agree with you, whatever you need. But before you leave this place, don't leave with any cloud on your heart. Your heart needs to be totally clear and free before you leave this place today. God himself offers that to you through Jesus, his Son, via the Holy Spirit's work in you right now. The Bible says the Holy Spirit draws. Your job is to answer. As the Holy Spirit speaks to you about things today in your life, those things that you already know need to be changed, those things that you probably have given up on, it ain't over.
Right.
It's not over until God says it's over, and he says it will never be over. I want to spend eternity with you. Get it right now so we can. If anybody needs anything today, please just raise your hand or step forward or whatever. We'd be happy to pray with you, stand with you. I'm promising you by the word of God that if you'll do that, things will change in your life.
Amen.
No doubt, no ifs, no ands. But I've tried it before. This time don't try, just do it. Let's stop trying to do things. Let's just do them. Come on. Don't be ashamed of him. He'll be ashamed of you. If the only way that you can handle this is there quietly with your head bowed, then so do it. Do it. Do it. Square things up with God now. Those things that you haven't been able to accomplish or do or change, throw them on God right now. So cast all your cares upon him. He'll care for you. In other words, he'll remind you consistently and show you how to get them changed. Know this, that it's not all up to you. He's fighting for you. He'll stand with you. And he will finish what you and him start. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let me remind you of something. I was just reminded of the Holy Spirit. Anybody in here never fail? I'm the only one in here that never fails, right? That's a joke, whoever's listening on this CD. All have come short,
yes.
The Bible says.
Yeah.
All have come short. Now, my question to you is, does that disqualify you in any way? Don't let the enemy tell you because you have fallen short that you will never finish the course. That's a way to destroy your faith and your foundation. Don't go there. Don't be led there. If I can look at my wife and I can tell her, I don't fetch and I don't sit and I don't gopher, I don't chase rocks, then I can tell the enemy that much better. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The enemy will have you going after things, fetching things, setting at the wrong time, stopping at the wrong time, going at the wrong time. If you just quit listening, just every one of you need to do what you always wanted to do and don't listen anymore. The Holy Spirit, you understand the Holy Spirit's not going to come in and tear you up. He's going to enter with light and with truth and with peace. And if you'll just yield, you won't have a fight. You're going to look back and say, why did I ever do that? Why'd I ever listen to that? God is good.
Yes.
All the time. He's not good just when I'm good. He's good all the time. And he's best when I'm not so good.
Yes.
One more thing. Alinda's not here. She has made it.
Yeah.
But somebody needs to fill her shoes. When you're not here anymore, your life will need to stand on its own so strong that somebody will fill your shoes. I was raised a farmer. I raised a crop. I tilled ground. I planted seed. You would think the culmination of all things would be the harvest. No, no, no. That's the beginning. You go out there and plow that ground up and start that process over again for a new harvest. Whatever God's done in your life, he will do more.
Yeah.
Don't stop where he is. Get up and go where he's going. Be excited in the plowing and the tilling and the tearing apart because another harvest is coming. Sure as I'm standing here, a harvest is coming. Praise the Lord. All hearts clear. If your heart's clear, raise your hand. If not, don't lie. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, for those... Up, 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 up. For those that couldn't raise your hand, I don't know how to be more plain than this. God is trying to raise your hand more than you are. I'm talking about for those that are free and clear. There's only one way that you can't be free and clear at this moment. And that's that you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior. I don't care what anybody's ever told you. I don't care what they've insinuated or suggested. The only way that you can't be a total success right now is you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior. I've offered. I am through. I don't cram Jesus. He's too free and he's too good.
Yeah.
You partake, you'll be free.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise you. And I thank you that that's the truth. I thank you that's the truth. Praise the Lord. Now, a little change of vein here. My wife and I miss you guys a lot. You would have to, I think if you just listen to the message, you can understand that. I'm most excited and I'm most efficient when I'm here. God is doing things, and I don't know what He's doing, but I trust Him. I am so thankful that He gave us that message, that series of messages in Joseph, so that I could be at total peace, whether I'm in the dungeon or where I'm at Pharaoh's table. It makes no difference. I'm at total peace. And I will not, listen to me carefully, I will never question His sanity. I will never question His ability. I will never question His direction. Y'all need to rest in that. As we're having to rest in that. The only reason our hearts are not torn in two is because our hearts have been given to God. So nothing else is allowed to tear it in two.
Yeah.
We thank you. We are very thankful for the work that's being done here. Lineage. Man, what a word. Nothing teaches you that like grandkids. Lineage. God's about His business and He's good at it. What we want to do as we leave here today is we want to pronounce, my wife and I, we want to pronounce on you total boldness. The things that I've talked about this morning. See, you don't need me to accomplish what I talked about this morning. And I don't need you. I need God. Will He separate us? No. No. No, no more than He took Joseph from his family. Well, for 30 years he was gone. Yeah, but He didn't take him.
Right.
He just prepared the whole thing to come out a victorious thing that nobody could have described. Amen? We love you guys. But we don't do what we want. I highly suggest that about you. Don't do what you want. Do what God wants. Because there are grandchildren. There are their children still to come. And I'm like God in this matter. I care about those to come. The difference is He has an explanation. I don't, so I trust Him. Amen. Praise the Lord in all things.
Yeah.
We want to, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I want to give some tremendous praise to you. You don't imagine. You can't, unless you listen to one of these CDs, you can't imagine how you input in the service. I was sitting there listening to her play this morning. She's good. By the Holy Spirit, she's good.
Yes.
All of you, she'd argue with me if I'd give her a voice, and I won't. I don't need her opinion. I'm telling you the truth. All of you that are true and faithful to this church and this body, I give you praise. It's not enough. God gives you praise. God gives you praise. So what we do right now, we, as the fathers of this house, see, I wouldn't have said that very long ago. Just, I'm growing still. How about you?
Amen.
We want to ordain you and anoint you and profess over you everybody that puts an ounce of work into this church, which means everybody that comes. We say in Jesus' name that you have a blessing that is, as Jesus had a name that nobody knows, far beyond anything that you can think about, We pronounce that blessing on you right now. That call that God is working in you, we release it. We pronounce a growth in this body that is unprecedented and unbelievable. That soon you have to deal with issues like you've never seen. Like you couldn't imagine. We put a special word over Bill and over Chuck and Tanya. Cause them, Father, to do things that are far beyond their imaginations. And I tear down their imaginations and make room for yours. Replace their blood with your blood. Replace their desires with yours, their love with yours. As they stand up to do what they know they can't do, cause them to believe in you. Cause them to believe in you more than they've ever done before. To give them confidence and assurance that by you, by your blood, by your will, by your spirit, they will do what is correct. Praise the Lord. And I know you still got some things for us to do. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Open those windows, open those doors so that we understand and we know what to do. Be faithful to us as we're faithful to you in seeking you. And I could never ask for anything else, anything more. Hallelujah. I believe these words do not fall down, but they impregnate and they give life in that more abundantly because I do it in faith, I do it in word, and in Jesus' name. Praise. Everybody that agrees with that, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank the family, the friends that are here today. Thank you for being here. I hope we've done justice, which I don't feel like we have, but I hope we've done justice to Linda. She's caused me to grow. She's caused me to get revelation that I never had before. How much more can anybody ask of anyone? Praise the Lord. Y'all stand with me, please. I will say to you again, where we are, you're welcome. But not forever. Because I don't say that that's where I'm going to be forever. So maybe you have a short amount of time to make arrangements to come and see us and enjoy a little bit. Amen? Praise the Lord. You never know what God might do tomorrow. You never know. But I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Richard got his apartment. I mean his townhome.
Yes.
An owner.
Amen.
Out of the blue. We didn't know it was even coming about. Praise God. I said, the next thing I want to hear is that you see your townhome and you're getting your driver's license.
Hallelujah.
So don't be satisfied with where you are. You can't out-challenge God. Just go ahead and believe for things that you think are big, and he'll show you how little they were and give you bigger things to believe for. Hallelujah. It's a good God. He's a good God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I appreciate so much the time I've been able to spend here with your people. I thank you that the words that you brought forth this morning, he's going to change their lives.
Yes.
I thank you that it's already changing mine, and I intend for it to continue. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, which means blessings and growth. That's what we walk in. Health and prosperity, because that's your will, that's who you are. But most of all, faithful and true. I seal that in your people today, and I do it in Jesus' name, and I do it in advance. And all of us now accept that to be the truth in advance. With a sign, we do it in agreement in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll be dismissed.